Hi, this is Wayne Downey from the Concord Blue Devils, and you're listening to the Marching Roundtable.
This podcast is sponsored by Tone Deaf Comics, found at ToneDeafComics.com. Now on the Tone Deaf website is the Vote for Your Favorite Drum Corps bracket. Like the NCAA Basketball 64 team bracket, you can vote for your favorite drum corps and see which one progresses in the voting and how they all progress. Find it on the site by clicking on Brackets at the top of the page in the menu bar. That's at ToneDeafComics.com. Hello, and welcome to the Marching Roundtable. My name is Tim Hinton, and along with John Bogenschutz, Joe Allison, and Mary White, I welcome you to our roundtable discussion about the marching arts. Tonight, we're talking with Wayne Downey of the Concord Blue Devils, and we couldn't be more excited to have him join us and ask him some questions. Actually, ask him a lot of questions. But first, we want to say hi to the roundtable team. Mary White, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great, Tim. So happy to hear Wayne Downey.
Yeah, it's so great to have him. Joe Allison, how are you?
I'm just spectacular, and I have to tell you, the contrast between Tone Deaf Comics and Wayne Downey couldn't be more extreme. That's just hilarious.
All right, then that's a nice combo. Now, John Bogenschutz could not be with us tonight because of a personal conflict, but in his place, we have the ever clever and entertaining Greg Basham.
Yay!
Greg, how are you?
Fine, how are you doing? It's a pleasure to be here this evening, and I'm just thinking that maybe Wayne could give the Tone Deaf Comics some tips on how to, you know, maybe do something.
Do something. I like that.
Nice. Well, Greg was a band director for many, many years and now is the assistant principal at Blake High School in Tampa. You want to say a little bit about that, Greg, just so they know who you are?
Yeah, was a band director for 15 years, worked on some drum corps staffs, and as I've gotten a little further along, I decided that I would be the administrator of a curriculum for a School of the Arts here in Tampa, Florida.
Yeah, so thank you so much for being here and filling in for John tonight. So as I said, our guest tonight is Wayne Downey, so let's introduce him now. Hi, Wayne, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. I know it's a very busy time of the season, so the fact that you're taking time to talk with us is just really fantastic.
My pleasure.
Yeah, thank you. Wayne is the music director of the 14-time DCI champion Concord Blue Devils Drum and Bugle Corps. Under his supervision as arranger and teacher, the brass section of the Blue Devils has been awarded the Jim Ott Memorial Trophy for Excellence in Brass Performance for an unprecedented 22 times, jeez, more than any other brass section in the history of DCI. I tell you, Wayne, that is a ridiculous statistic. So congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank you very much. It's been a long run and a good one so far, and it hasn't ended. So keeping my fingers crossed to make it another notch in the belt for the entire brass staff this year as well.
Well, That's just a super amazing accomplishment. Wayne also serves as a teacher, clinician, and arranger, and was inducted into the DCI Hall of Fame in 1991. Now, listeners, tonight we're doing something really different for our podcast. We're going to be trying to ask Wayne 100 questions in 60 minutes, and our goal is to see if we can answer them all within the hour's time. So thank you, Wayne, for being adventurous. And just so our listeners know, we have a medic team standing by near Wayne's home. And I'd like to point out that this crazy 100 questions idea was John Bogenschutz's idea, so it's really ironic that he's not here.
He bailed.
No, he didn't. He couldn't help it, but we can't rag him if this goes really, really terribly wrong. So we'll see what happens. And here's what we did. We gave Wayne some of the questions in advance just to save time so that he'd be a little more prepared to answer them since we're trying to do this quickly. But the majority of the questions are going to be a surprise to Wayne and to the other hosts. So we might stop the clock from time to time to let Wayne elaborate on certain topics that we want to hear more about. But mostly, we've asked him to give us quick and concise answers when possible so that we can move quickly through the questions. So it's time for the 100 questions. We're going to ask these in a round-robin style. So Joe's going to go first, and then we're going to go.
My heart is beating faster right now.
Joe, was that your clock sound?
It was.
You going to break out the spoons next, Joe?
Well, I've been practicing, but I'm not sure I'm ready.
Oh, good.
So anyway, the order is going to be Joe's going to ask, then Mary, then Greg, then me. And we'll just go round and round, each of us jumping in with the next question once Wayne is finished. So the one more time, let's practice this. Let's say hi to Wayne one more time in order. Joe, go first.
Greetings, Professor.
Okay, then Mary.
Good evening, Wayne.
This is like a talk show thing. And then Greg.
Good times.
Okay.
What my line? So, what's my line?
I've got my iPhone stopwatch going. I'm going to start it now when we get ready. And Joe, you have the first question. So when I start the timer, we will go.
Yeah, because I want to tell everybody that you need to have your pencils to take notes for these highly intelligent and educationally based questions.
Right. And having said that, Joe's first question will surely set the tone for the night. So I'm going to start the stopwatch and go.
Wayne, boxers or briefs?
Neither.
Oh!
Hey, Wayne, did you grow up in Smithtown, New York?
Yes, I did.
Oh, my gosh. We have to stop the clock, Tim, because so did I. I have heard this, and can I tell you where I heard it? I mean, sure. I have the original drum corps trivia game.
Oh, wow.
Maybe a collector item. But on one of the questions is, who performed with the Smithtown Freelancers? And you were the answer.
Yeah, absolutely. I marched in the Smithtown Freelancers from 1965 through 68. Yeah, 65, 66, 67, and 68.
Wow, and you grew up in New York, and then you left that area, obviously.
Yeah, I actually lived in the bordering town Commack, New York, and I graduated from Commack High School, and then in 1969... after marching a season with the Long Island Sunrisers, I moved to California. Actually, I joined my family who had moved to California a couple of months earlier.
Well, nice. Okay, we'll talk later at another time, okay? Thanks, Wayne, for walking me down memory lane. Now it's Greg's turn.
Okay.
That was sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce.
All right, here we go. Giants or A's?
Giants.
And what was your first concert you attended?
The first concert of VS in San Francisco.
That was my first concert too, Wayne. Oh my gosh, we're connecting here.
While we're bonding, Wayne, best Blue Devil horn line ever.
Best Blue Devil horn line ever. Well, boy, there's been a lot of great brass sections. I know, bump, 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 bump. Let me just say that I'm just going to give you a couple of them. 80. 82, 88, 91, 96 and 97, Superior, not that those others weren't, 99, 2003, 2007, 2009, and the winner is, by a nose, 1997 for sure.
Was
Wayne, McDonald's or Burger King?
Neither.
Hey! There goes our sponsorship.
Wendy's when I used to eat that.
Gotcha.
Channel One Suite or My Spanish Heart?
Oh God. I am going to go with My Spanish Heart because I've got a special place in my heart for that because Chick Corea was so fabulous to allow me to write that. And at the day after the championship in 1994, he sent me a personal fax back in those days saying that he and his wife had watched the broadcast and he cried sweet tears after watching the Blue Devils.
Wow.
Yeah. Very cool.
Wow.
Fantastic. Okay, so moving on. Star Wars or Star Trek?
Oh, gosh. Well, I grew up on Star Trek, so I'm going to say Star Trek.
Okay, Wayne, your favorite non-Blue Devil show?
My favorite non-Blue Devil show has to be Star 1993.
Ah, good choice.
Okay, are you ready? Your favorite Blue Devil show.
My favorite Blue Devil show. Gosh, well, here we go with the list again, because I think this is the best way to represent him. 80, 82, 85, 90, 95. Oh, gosh. 97, 2003,
2000. Bingo!
Bingo. I'm going to say the phenomenon of cool 2003.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, not best, but favorite Blue Devil horn line.
Well, that's a good one. And I have to say that I'm going to take a trip down memory lane with this one. I'm going to say 1982, the year that we did T.O. and the Rob McConnell material, because a lot of those young men and young women were really close to my heart. Back in those days, we used to do private lessons, and they used to move out to Concord in the beginning of the winter and live here during the winter. So I became real, real close to a lot of them. So 1982.
Cool answer. Old school.
Old school. Yeah.
Very nice. Now, we're asking a lot of really nuanced questions here, but this is a listener question from James Adams. He wants to know, what is your favorite Blue Devil brass book?
Well, that is a good question, James, and I'm going to tell you this one I had to give a lot of thought to because, and I'm going to take a step back into the 90s here, but Conversations in Jazz, 1991, Don Sobieski, which was the imaginary conversation between Charlie Bird Parker and Bela Bartok, and boy, writing that was a thrill, and I still dream of it now. So it's definitely the Conversations in Jazz, 1991.
Okay, Wayne, think carefully. Your favorite DCI judge.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. I'm going to say Marie Chapinski.
Yay!
That would be a kick off the hook of all the music judges.
You do know I'm judging this summer, right? Anyway.
Oh, God. I'll put you back in reality. What's your favorite book?
My favorite
Not
book?
Not book.
Just book, reading book.
Yeah.
Gosh, I read, gosh. You know what? I could say the Bible, but I won't say that.
Good Lord.
Goodness gracious.
You can come back to it if you want.
Let's come back to that one because I just don't have a good answer right now, to be honest with you.
All right, let's go. Which Blue Devil horn line wins the most improved award?
Oh, that's an easy one. That's a very easy one. Hands down, 1993, the year we did the Don Ellis portrait. That show was so metrically incredibly difficult.
Brutal.
And at the beginning of the year, the brass section was embarrassingly devoid of most qualities of performance. And the night of finals, they tied for high brass with Star in 1993. Star was amazing all year long. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely without question, 1993.
Yeah.
Well, very good. Okay, another listener question from Dylan Couch. He wants to know, do you think this dynasty you have going will end anytime soon?
Well, all dynasties come to an end. There's no doubt about it. But I would like to say that I don't see this coming to an end in the near foreseeable future. And that is because I think the creators as well as the staff are so happy with our home. No doubt about it.
Great answer. Okay, Wayne, your favorite non-Blue Devil horn line?
Didn't I say Star 1993?
Well, that was the whole core. Is that your favorite horn line as well?
Oh, wow. You know, I'm going to say that is just as well. Absolutely.
Cool.
How about your favorite thing to eat out of the core chuck wagon or food truck?
Cheese bagels.
All right.
With garlic and butter spread, of course.
Ooh, yeah. Of course.
A nice tea.
That's why I went on a diet about 3 months ago, by the way. So the cheese bagels, but that was from, you know, that was actually from every summer that I can remember.
Wow. What is the most common problem you see with brass players when they first come to the Blue Devils?
Oh, breathing and breath control, without question. Nobody knows how to breathe. Nobody knows how to breathe in a relaxed manner without creating some type of tightness or constriction, and it affects every part of their performance abilities.
Great.
Wow. Okay, so when we talked to Michael Cesaro, he mentioned that he was working on the new Blue Devil uniform for this summer, but he couldn't tell us without having to kill us anything about it. So at this point, can you tell us anything, or can you still not?
Well, I probably would be killed myself if I told you, but...
Come on, you can do it.
I will tell you this, Wayne, this isn't going to air to July now that I think about it, so...
Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you, it's very fantastical. It's a fantasy play on the Blue Devil costume of all years combined. It's just gorgeous. It's just gorgeous. It's got a little of this, a little of that. It's got some sash. It's got some leggings. It's got the marine dress mess. It's a combination, but it's very fantastical. It's just gorgeous.
Neat. Look forward to seeing it. Okay, Wayne, your favorite non-Blue Devil drum line.
Oh, that's an easy one, too. That would be SCV, Santa Clara Vanguard, the years that Jim Casella and Mr. Gussick were there.
Yeah. Cool answer.
Where do you sleep while you're on tour?
I actually, thank goodness, had a bunk by myself on the staff bus.
Nice.
Absolutely awesome. Nice. That's why I toured so many years.
I thought you were going to say on your back.
Okay.
No.
Sorry.
I may have to go off kilter here and ask who's your least favorite DCI judge, but I think we know the answer. We'll stick with grilled cheese or PB&J.
Grilled cheese.
Yeah.
Do you play Angry Birds?
Absolutely.
Do you have a favorite bird?
Oh, gosh. The penguin. No, not the penguin. Not the penguin. That's not even a bird. No. What's the one with the big beak? Is that the cockatoo or the one with
toucan?
The big toucan? Toucan.
Yeah, the one that ricochets back.
That's me. That's what I like, yeah.
All right, cool.
Okay, Wayne, three things on your personal bucket list.
Wow. You know, how about the ones that I've already accomplished? Is that okay, the ones that I've accomplished already, or do you want ones I haven't accomplished?
Either way, you're the star.
Well, I wanted to go to Rome, to the Vatican.
Yeah.
Did cool. That. That was amazing. Wanted to go to the Eiffel Tower and see Paris. Mm-hmm. Did that. Gosh. The only thing that I haven't had a chance to do that I really, really want to do is go to China. And I haven't got a chance to go to China because I want, and that Southeast Asian area because I really am looking forward to experiencing that society and that way of life.
Great answer.
Can you spin a rifle or a flag?
No.
All right. Listener question. Eric Vick asks, what has been your biggest regret or we wish we hadn't done that moment in a Blue Devil show?
We wish we didn't. Okay, well, I'll tell you what, that was as an easy one, too. I wish we hadn't played You Gotta Try for the third or fourth year back in 1989. That's without question, my most regrettable moment.
Okay. How do you stay excited about Drum Corps after all these years?
I love to teach. I love to watch my students succeed in the areas of communication and performance. It just energizes me, and I don't want to sound too shallow, but I like to succeed.
Okay, how about your favorite theater stage show?
Les Mis.
Do you have a day job?
Oh my god!
You know, actually, I've kind of created my own company, and I work for myself. And it's probably, with the exception of working for Dave Gibson and the Blue Devil organization, everything else that I do is, basically with my company, Extreme Brass. And so I have, I do a consulting, I do a lot of different creating educational materials. I've got my website, extremebrass.com, with an X. So that keeps me busy besides all of my arranging and composing from year to year. I might have a stage show like a Cyber Jam or a Blast or Odyssey, which was my last one. And I do a lot of arranging for particular musical cues on movies like American Pie Band Camp, did something for them. Did a couple of things for TV, Veronica Mars. Just so I keep myself busy. You know, I do a lot of traveling. So during the day, I'm pretty much trying to keep all my ducks in a row and keeping my life moving forward.
So that website was Extreme Brass. That's just X-T-R-E-M-E?
Yeah, X-T-R-E-M-E, extremebrass.com, or extremepercussion.com, either one.
Great, thanks.
Wayne, if you had to teach another drum corps, who would it be? And if we could, let's like one that's, you know, out there touring now.
Well, this is another easy one because, first of all, I love where I live. So I would teach with that question Santa Clara because it's close to my home and I am an alumni because I marched in Santa Clara in 70, 71, and 72.
Okay.
Cool. What's your favorite dessert?
Boston cream pie.
Mine too.
I'm telling you, when this is over, you two are going on a date. You guys are going on a date. This is over. Watch
out now. We must have gone to different schools together.
I went to Smithtown High School. Yeah. At the time, it had two schools, Smithtown High School West.
I went to Commack, and it was just one, but it ended up being Commack North.
Oh, okay. And your father was an elementary school principal, wasn't he?
Yes, he was, yes.
And so am I. So you see what I'm saying here, folks?
It's comic, or comic, as they say.
Yeah, and sometimes they say Comack.
Comack, exactly.
I'm loving it. So is it my turn?
I have no idea.
I can't tell.
It is. I'm sorry.
So, Wayne, since you did the Veronica Mars music, did you ever meet Kristen Bell?
No, actually not. I just did a couple of musical cues. In other words, a lot of times with those TV programs, what they'll do is they say, hey, I understand you've written X. How would you like to do this as a musical cue for us? And so I had just done, they wanted a Pomp and Circumstance or something, and I had just done that for American Pie. So they asked me to do a musical cue for Pomp and Circumstance. So I never really got a chance to meet anybody besides sitting in my office and then sending an email.
Yeah.
Hey, Wayne, what's in your refrigerator that definitely needs to be thrown out?
Some very, very old Chardonnay.
Who is, this is a good one, this is a good one. Who is most likely to win a hot dog eating contest? All right, now you ready for this? I mean, okay. David Gibbs, Scott Johnson, Scott Chandler, or Wayne Downey?
Oh, Scott Johnson. Sure.
Yeah, that I could answer that one.
Okay, very good. So I lost track of where I am. I'm so sorry. And I'm the one that was saying, don't lose track of where you are. Do you like roller coasters?
Oh, I love roller coasters. I'm a roller coaster addict.
Yay.
Oh, now you're going to connect with Tim.
Do you have a favorite coaster?
You know,
or one of your favorites. East Coast.
Well, you know, I go back and forth between the wooden roller coasters, the old wooden roller coasters, and the new high-tech roller coasters. And the last time I was down when we were doing Cyber Jam down at Epcot Center, I went to MGM, and they had, oh, and I'm not going to even remember the name of it, the green something or other, and it just blew my doors away.
Probably talking about the Hulk at Universal.
The Hulk, yes. That's
there it,
it
is.
I know. I work with colors, you know, so it's like.
Cool. Okay, yeah. Wayne, tell me the best marching band show you ever saw that you weren't a part of.
Marian Catholic from Chicago Heights, Illinois. I've seen them, you know, of course, from year to year, they're simply amazing. But I've sort of seen a couple of performances in different years. And don't ask me to remember specifically the name of the show. And sure. Or the year, but it was without question Marian Catholic High School.
That's a good answer for us because Greg Beam's going to do a podcast visit with us very soon.
Oh, excellent.
Wayne, if you won $1 million, what would be your very first expense?
Do I sound shallow first or do I just make something up?
a charity.
What I would do first is pay for set up an account to pay for the tours of the next 10 years of people in the Blue Devils that couldn't pay for their tour to go during the summer. At least one or two scholarships a year.
Awesome.
Gotcha.
What program do you use to write music, Wayne?
I use Sibelius.
Okay, and is it true that the famous unwinding spiral move in the late 70s shows was created by mistake at practice one day?
You know, I actually try to find this out because I haven't the slightest idea. I called up Mike Moxley. I called up. All I kept getting was, please leave a message. You know, I have no idea. I haven't the slightest. You know, all I can tell you is that it certainly was fabulous.
Yeah, that's just one of those drum corps urban myths maybe, but if you happen to find out, let us know and we'll let our listeners
okay.
know. That, I thought that was interesting.
Well, I left that message for Mr. Moxley, so I'm sure he'll get back to me at some point.
Come on, Mike, return your calls.
Yeah.
Okay, Wayne, what's your favorite American city?
Oh, boy. Well, I have many different cities that I love, all for different reasons.
Judging's hard, isn't it, Wayne?
Yeah, it is. It's very, it's apples and oranges.
Yeah.
I'm going to say because of the incredible wealth of art and music and performance, New York City.
Yeah. What's your favorite thing about this activity?
But what I like about this activity the most is that I really feel as if it heightens the skills and awareness for the young kids of family, communication, and cooperation.
Wayne, Mac or Windows?
Oh, definitely Mac.
Yay.
Do you have any pets?
I'm sorry, you're breaking up. Captain, we're breaking up.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Do you have any pets?
No, unfortunately, I don't have any pets. I would love to have a dog, but if I had a pet, they would be either very lonely or dead because I leave and travel for so long that I would, it's like, you know, it's one of those unfortunate things that I wouldn't be able to care for them with the love that would be necessary.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, Wayne, your favorite non-American city?
My favorite non-American city. Oh, God. I'm going to say Paris. I love Paris. And not particularly in the springtime, but just, I just love Paris.
Je t'aime.
Yeah. Mon ami.
What is your least favorite thing about this activity?
The competition. And the angst that the competition causes.
Yeah.
What is your favorite American Pie movie?
Bandcamp. Actually, to be honest with you, I love the first American Pie. You know, the original. I loved it. I really thought that was hilarious.
What was the last Halloween costume you wore?
Oh, my goodness. Trip down memory lane.
He's wearing it now.
I've got it on right now. It's a pumpkin outfit. I'm going to be just bait for many a joke with this one, but I think it might have been Zorro.
Yes. Okay, Wayne, what is your favorite non-musical hobby?
My favorite non-musical hobby. Well, that's pretty simple. That would be swimming, eating, and laying by the beach, in that order.
What's your favorite movie?
Oh gosh, I'm gonna pass on that one too, because that's like, what's your favorite book? What's your favorite movie? That's like, I have a plethora of things swirling through my mind.
All right, does the Blue Devil's horn line go to 11?
I actually
can answer that question for everybody, because when I was on staff at Magic one night, we were at a show with you all in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and it was 1996, and I was standing right down front on that racetrack they have there. And you guys cranked up the beginning of the show, and I have never heard anything that loud or clear in my life. I can answer that question. It does go to 15.
Yeah. It gets – what? That was a joke.
Good.
Joe.
Very nice. Yeah. Very nice. Very nice. Okay, so, Wayne, did you ever play any sports?
Yes, I did, actually. I was a wide receiver in the high school actually junior varsity and junior high school, because when I got to high school I had to choose between marching band and football, and I loved football, but it was way too much work, you know. So I stuck with marching band.
Okay, here's one that's near and dear to my heart, Wayne. Think carefully. What's your favorite restaurant?
Wow.
Yeah.
goodness gracious sakes alive.
There's several close to your home, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I am going to say Fleur de Lis. It's either Fleur de Lis in San Francisco or the French Laundry
in Yonville.
One of the two. And, of course, the French Laundry is always, you know, rated incredibly high in Fleur de Lis, but two different reasons I love both those restaurants.
Yeah, the French Laundry is the Blue Devils of the restaurant business.
I don't know what you mean.
Wayne, how many hours does the Corps work on an average day?
About 10 hours a day. When we're in town, what we do is called 9 to 9s. But they get an hour and a half for dinner, and they get an hour for lunch, and then assorted break times and so forth. So I'd say when we're just going at it, it's about 10 hours a day.
All right, Wayne, this question is from John Bogenschut. So yowza or no yowza?
No yowza.
Okay. Superman or Batman?
Ooh, I'm going to go with Superman.
Good man. Thank you.
Okay. Listener Jack Jean asks, where do you see Drum Corps International in 10 years?
Wow. I think that in 10 years from now, considering where it's going, I think it's going to be a viable alternative for family entertainment.
Cool.
Wayne, what adults and mentors inspired you?
Say that one more time, please.
What adults and mentors inspired you?
I've got a couple. Gail Royer, the director of the Santa Clara Vanguard in the 70s and 80s. From an arranging point of view, certainly Gail, but I also have to say Mike Duffy, who arranged for the Anaheim Kingsmen. And he was actually their arranger of the year that they won the first DCI national championship. Ray Bumgart Gotten. He was the arranger for the Madison Scouts early on. Fabulous arranger. Some fabulous people. I had a brass teacher when I was playing G bugle in the Comac Chiefs Fife Drum and G Bugle Corps. That his name was Ray Fardy, F-A-R-D-Y. And he was kind of, when I was 10, 11, 12, and 13, was actually setting, unbeknownst to me, the barometer for how I would really teach technique and the standards that I would create or expect for my students to perform with. He was just fabulous. And I remember one day I was competing in the Northeastern United States solo championship. And I had this little ragtag G bugle, and I lived in a two-story home, and I was looking out, I was up practicing one day and looking out my window, and I saw Ray Fardy, who lives hours away from where I lived, walking up my driveway, and I said, wow, there, and I went running downstairs, and he rang the doorbell. I opened it up. I said, Mr. Fardy, what are you doing? He said, oh, well, I really thought that you might enjoy playing on this instrument for the championship. And he had gotten me a pristine one-valve horizontal rotary bugle, even though I was going to play all the open tones. He thought I should have the best instrument available. And I thought, wow, this man really cares about what I do and how I do it. And it kind of set standards for me, not only in what the standards I expect my students to perform, but standards that I expect a teacher should perform for his students.
Wow.
Cool answer.
Thanks.
It was such a great answer. I forget, is it my turn?
Yeah.
Sorry.
All right.
How did you first get started arranging for the Blue Devils?
Well, that is a very interesting question. I had with my best friend in the world, Jim Ott. By the way, who was another mentor, arranging mentor of mine that I forgot, and I'm sure I will get emails and text messages about that, but I can't remember everything. I'm getting old. My good friend Jim Ott and myself started teaching the Blue Devils. Actually, he started teaching the Blue Devils in 71, 72. And I came on board. Jerry Seawright asked me to participate at the end of 1973. And basically, Jim and I were kind of a tandem. He was doing the creative, and I was doing the technique programs and performance programs. So 74, 75, 76, 77, we were the team. And the end of 1977, Freddie Martin, I don't know exactly the timeline here, but Freddie Martin offered Jim a position to teach the Spirit of Atlanta and be their arranger and move to Atlanta, Georgia. And Jim took him up on that offer and moved to Atlanta, Georgia to be the staff arranger and coordinator for the Spirit of Atlanta. And we just kept our relationship moving along, you know, as me still being the technique person, him writing the show and mailing it in. Well, halfway through 78, the winter of 78, it was real obvious to Jerry Seawright as well as the rest of the creative staff that not having Jim there full time and not having his full attention and interest was really affecting the quality of the work. We had a staff meeting at my house, and Jerry was concerned about this and was kind of talking to the staff about it. And he just turned to me and he said, well, there's only one answer. And I said, well, what is that? He says, you'll be writing the show from now on. And I went, he said, no, you're fine. You can do it. You can do it. And luckily, you know, at that point in time, Mike Moxley, Mel Stratton, Rick Odello, they were all extremely supportive. I said, Wayne, hey, come Come on, you know what you're doing. Do this, you know. And so what I ended up doing during the course of the 78 season was finishing the show and then retooling a lot of what, not a lot, but some of the things that Jim had done initially. So 78 was the first year that I started arranging the show, and it was because of Jim Ott's departure that I had the opportunity, to do so. And I guess that was fortunate for me.
Yep, fortunate for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, right, so this is very amazing that you've been around the organization, you're saying now, since 73, and that's obviously been, you know, one of the threads of success that's been there the whole time. And actually, the current design team at the Blue Devils has been together a really long time. Do you think that that's one of the keys to the continuing success of the core?
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about that, because the everybody knows what the next person's going to say. You know, so there's no untold stories here, and everybody understands their strengths and their weaknesses when it comes to the sense of design. We have hierarchy that's based upon respect and understanding each other's roles. So, there's no doubt about it. I mean, as I said earlier with that question of when will the dynasty end, I don't see it ending in the near foreseeable future because of the relationship and the bond that the staff presently has and the support that the organization gives us, really.
Okay, Maestro, from a pretty easy question to a difficult one, who's your favorite brass player?
Oh, there's no question there. It's Wynton Marsalis.
Ah. Mm. Who's going to be on our campus this fall, by the way, or next February. Sorry.
There you go.
I have a listener question from Tanya Cooper Shelton. What is the one thing you wish everyone knew or understood about drum corps?
That it's for the kids.
Mm.
Wayne, if you had to eliminate one section from the brass line, which would it be? The trumpets, the mellophones, the baritones and euphoniums, or the tubas?
Jeez.
Is this based on looks, performance?
Nice.
I don't want to. I really don't want to answer that question because I would eliminate anything. It's all sections. Let me put it to you this way. You know, when you're a brass arranger, you only have five fingers. You know, it's like, which one do you want to cut off? You know,
right.
And it's hard enough being inventive from a textural and a color point of view as you arrange just with five little voices. So I don't need four. I'll keep everybody. Thank you.
Okay. Fair enough. Do you have a favorite classical composer?
Mahler.
This is 150th anniversary. Good answer. your most embarrassing DCI moment.
Well, it's actually an unfortunate story, and it was embarrassing more for the performer than anything else. But in 1989, we had a trumpet cadenza at the end of the ballad, and this young gentleman who had succeeded amazingly well all season long had this double B, screaming this double B, and it was a big climax at the end of the cadenza, and he went, ba-da-ba-wa. But and you could see all the performers on the field just kind of melt into the grass, and it was unfortunate. So, and I still feel for that gentleman to this day because I'm hoping he's okay.
Surely.
Yeah, Wayne, do you ever dream of being on the television show Minute to Win It?
You know what? I don't even think I've ever seen that television program. So I'm glad because I probably would say, I wanted to win it. But anyway, so.
What are some common arranging problems you hear in the world of arranging today?
Young arrangers and composers overwrite. There's too many thoughts and too many ideas in one 15-second, phrase, or 8-count phrase, or 16-count phrase. It's definitely overwriting, over-texturing, and density.
Yeah, I'm with you there. So what's been your favorite location for DCI Finals all these years?
Well, I do love Madison, but I'm gonna throw out the hometown answer, because it was just an amazing experience for the Blue Devils as well as myself. But Pasadena actually was really, really fabulous because of the 33 some odd thousand people that were there. Now, they could have been screaming blue, 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 but I don't think I heard that. So,
okay, Wayne, who's your favorite designer outside of the pageantry world?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe.
The dude what did your shirt? Actually, it's a great shirt. I keep ragging on it.
Oh, gosh. I would say,
cool. This is good.
Yeah, you got me. I'm going through everything. I'm going to go with Rodin.
Yay.
Yeah.
Great answer.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a couple of your favorites on your iPod? First, I get book, movie, and now songs on iPod. I'm like, hello.
I want to say, and I'm going to have, this is going to be embarrassing because I know what I want to say, but I want to make sure I get the name correctly, because if I don't, I'm going to be embarrassed. So let me see your playlists.
Spell it.
No. I just want to make sure I get it correctly.
See, that's why he named Rodin a minute ago, because he's the thinker.
He's the thinker. Okay, well, I'm going to say my favorite is one of Gordon Goodwin's albums that he's done with the Big Fat Band. Talk about recent jazz phenons and bands that are fabulous. So I'd say Gordon Goodwin, the Big Fat Band.
Yay.
All right, Wayne, there's a drastic difference in show design from the 70s until now. If you had to pick one era to relive again, which would it be, the 70s, 80s, 90s, or the 2000s?
Oh, my goodness. I would say, I was thinking what my favorite shows were, I was grouping them into decades, and I have to say that I had more favorite shows in the 90s than I did in 2000 or the 80s. So I'm going to say the 90s.
Okay, fair enough. I have a listener question from Colton Derek Cunningham, who asks, when was your best awestruck, chills down your spine moment from watching the Blue Devils?
Well, see, I thought my favorite DCI moment, and of course watching the Blue Devils, I was going to say, you know, at finals when they say, and in first place, the Blue Devils. That's usually my most inspiring, awestruck moment. But, really, to be honest with you, when you've been able to witness the finals performances, and sometimes not finals performances, during season performances, incredible drum corps, or incredible use of Blue Devils drum corps, there are so many moments. I just couldn't pick one, because I just, like I said earlier, I am just inspired by watching my students succeed and communicate. And it's one of my greatest, joys of being a teacher is watching them succeed. And there's many, many moments that happens during the course of the season. Sometimes early, most of the times at the end, but you're caught off guard sometimes.
Great answer. Okay, shifting gears. What did you have for lunch today?
I had a Manavi chocolate berry shake because I am on a maintenance of a diet that I've just finished that I lost 40 pounds. So I am, I'm doing meal replacement diet by Manavi, which is the makers of the acai berry juices, but they have just come up with a new diet product called Reveal. And,
Product placement,
exactly. And you can get on my website, loseweightcontrol.com.
Wayne, there's a lot of organizations within the Blue Devils. When I marched in Color Guard, I competed in a Color Guard that also had a twirling corps that competed against the Blue Devils. So what organizations are within the Blue Devil organization?
Well, presently we have two competitive winter Color Guards. We have an A drum and bugle corps, a B drum and bugle corps, a C drum and bugle corps, and then we have the Diablo Wind Symphony. So there's a wind symphony, three drum corps, and two competitive winter guards.
Gotcha.
Impressive.
What has been the hardest show to pull together performance-wise?
Well, I've got to still say the one that was the one that the brass section improved the most on, and that was the 1993 show. That was just, God bless Don Ellis for fabulous music, but it was just too much complexity. The physical simultaneous responsibilities with the multimeters and the odd meters, it was just way out there.
Yeah.
What kind of phone do you have?
I have an iPhone 4.
Cool.
Okay, listener Scott Miller asks, what is the most efficient way to break down bad brass fundamentals and rebuild proper fundamentals for those students entering your program?
If it was earlier on in the organization's history, the way that we did do that was that we would make sure that we would give private lessons to each of the students that were really caught behind. Because breaking down bad habits is very, very difficult, because it's usually a habit is learned. It's a memory that's learned. It's muscle memory that you have to really gradually change, unlearn, reteach, re-strengthen the muscle. And that takes quite a lot of time and dedication on the student's point of view, plus a lot of detailed information and observation by the teacher. So more often we've had success with, just private instruction and special attention to each individual performer.
Can I ask a B part to that question?
Sure.
This is for me. So how many students did you have audition for your brass section this year?
I would say I'm close to 300.
Now, so I don't think you take people with bad fundamentals anymore, do you?
Well, I'll tell you, this is the joy of teaching the Blue Devils. Really, it's like teaching at a university, because you are blessed with extremely A, intelligent, B, hardworking, C, very talented, and D, very experienced performers. So it gives me and the rest of the staff the opportunity to really broaden their horizons and try new teaching techniques and try to add more to the performance spectrum. So again, it's just like teaching in heaven.
Like that.
Hey, Wayne, what kind of car do you drive?
I have a BMW 328i hardtop convertible.
Gotcha.
Wayne, what other arrangers right now in DCI do you admire?
Oh, gosh. Well, certainly Jay Bocook, without question. J.D. Shore. Michael Klesch. Someone who's not arranging a DCI anymore who's incredible is Rich Sosedo. Keith Poland. Doug Thrower. And let's not forget Drew Shanefield. So, I mean, if I forgot any of you guys, I'm sorry.
But they all are great, aren't they?
Yeah, there's the skill and the talent of the arrangers and composers that we have working for DCI is just incredible. So it's tough for me every year trying to be on the top of the heap, because there's so much incredible talent and fabulous kids and people.
Right, which is great for the activity in general. It's really good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what was your high school mascot?
It was the Comac Rams. We had Rams. We were the Rams.
Okay, Wayne. Forrest Castro asks, Why isn't drum corps performing halftime for major football games? I would much rather prefer that than watching pop groups fail.
I think the biggest problem is the time of the year. Football is in the fall, and unfortunately, drum corps is in the summer. And I don't know, you know, a lot of the fans, I don't know if they know this or not, but I mean, usually about an hour after finals, the drum corps are disbanded. They're no more because everybody gets on in a car, on a plane, in a bus, and disperses to the four winds. So it's unfortunate, but it's a timing issue and it's a time of the year issue.
What was your first job?
My first drum corps job or real job?
Real job, and then do drum corps job.
My first job was, my father was, he was hooked up politically with the Democratic Party in Long Island, and he got me a job as this is going to kick everybody in the butt, as one of those street cleaners, park picker-uppers, sweepers during the summer. And I would go from park to park and pick up trash and sweep streets. And the second year I was upgraded that I was able to rent bait tackling boats at a local lake in actually Lake Ronkonkoma. And then the third year I was the groundskeeper for City Hall. So
wow.
Those are my three jobs. I've never had a job past 18, so I don't have anything else I can share with you.
But you've been cleaning things up ever since.
I've been a cleaner. Yeah, no doubt.
If David Gibbs came up to you and said that you had to either write the percussion book, write the drill, or do the choreography for the Blue Devils, which one would you do?
Well, it would not be write the color guard book. That's for damn sure.
No, you can't spin a rifle or a flag.
I can't spin a rifle or a flag. Actually, there are so many, I had a student he's a grown man now and very, very successful, Gino Cipriani, who's teaching the cadets. He had all these percussion skills. He used to play it and sing it and write it. And I'm going, oh man, that's way too much. I'm not going to get there. So I couldn't write the drum book. I would probably try to write and not do a good job of it, the drill.
Well, at least you could get the trumpets right where you wanted them,
I get them right where I need them. I would definitely, I would have everybody staged beautifully.
On the 50.
On the 50. Exactly.
Parked.
Very nice. Very nice. Here's a listener question from Minor Music. They ask, is being a great player more nature or nurture?
Oh, wow. I think it's both. I think you have to have both to succeed, because the psychology of performance can really reflect on the physiology of performance. So I really think it's both.
Who's your favorite drummer?
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, let's just say going back to the days, Buddy Rich.
Mm, yeah.
Cool.
Hey, if you could be an animal, which animal would you be and why?
I would be a dog, and I would be a Labrador retriever, because I think they get the most love and the most hugging and cuddling.
Ah.
Hey, Wayne, is your house filled with tons of leftover mirrors, chairs, and huge dice?
No, but I do have a trombonium, a miaphone, a French horn, you name it, and I've got it, from yesteryear. At least one of each.
So. Now, are they playable, or are you using them for mirrors and fixtures on the wall?
Oh no, lamps. Lamps only. Lamps only.
Very good. I have another listener question from Minor Music again. They said, how do you increase endurance?
This is going to sound awfully easy. Practice.
Yeah, again.
Smart practice, intelligent rehearsal technique. You have to understand to building musculature. And to build musculature, you not only have to have great nutrition, you've got to be able to exercise the muscle properly to the point of distress. And then the relaxation and the recovery time is as important as the time that you're working. So make sure you blend both. Make sure you have great nutrition and practice, practice, practice.
Here's a Miss America question.
Huh?
What is your favorite color?
Blue. Is that a surprise?
Do you have a shade?
Royal blue.
What instruments do you play?
I don't play any instruments right now. No, I had to make a decision many years ago, and a lot of people say this is a cop-out, but I don't believe it to be. I was performing in an eight-piece group, doing gigging and so forth and so on. I was teaching. I was going to school. And then past going to school, I was traveling, doing consultations. I was going to Japan. I was doing halftime show football games. I was arranging. I was composing. And it got to be there were too many things to do and not enough time in one day. So I had to make a decision. And what I decided was that I wanted to take my writing, composing, and arranging career and take it to new heights. Because that's what I was really more interested in at that point in time. I was a real good player and I loved performing, and I do to this day still miss performing. But it got to be just not enough hours in one day to fill all the needs that I was trying to fulfill at that point in time.
And Wayne, what was your instrument?
Trumpet. I was a trumpet player. Yeah.
Thanks.
Wayne, if you could go back and redesign just one show, which one would it be?
If I was going to rewrite one show, boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. You know, I know which one. I would go back and rewrite the Dance Derby, the show that we did in 2005, because that was a great visual concept, a great idea in show development, and I don't think musically we brought it to fruition. So Dance Derby 2005.
Do you know any words in Na'vi?
No.
Okay, so you sort of touched on this, but name a favorite travel destination.
Well, really, if the temperature is warm, the sand is white, the water's blue, I'm there. I will say Virgin Gorda in the British Virgin Isles.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say that you were with the Blue Devils for 36 years?
This is 37. This is going on 37. Will somebody please shoot me?
All right. Did you have a blast with Blast?
Oh, absolutely. What a great experience. So many great moments just for example, London. Opening the show in London and then coming back and then retooling it in the United States. And then we toured the United States, Chicago, Boston, Washington, D.C., the Kennedy Center, and then going to Broadway. I mean, 42nd Street Theater. I mean, what an amazing, amazing. I remember to this day. The first rehearsal we had at the on Broadway, it was just kind of a music tech rehearsal. And here I am, the top of the theater with the God mic, and here I'm rehearsing, a Broadway play for the first time. And I was kind of awestruck just with, the opportunity that I was given by Jim Mason and the fabulous creative team to be part of those wonderful creatives are just amazing. So it was fabulous. And then it went on. We did another show called Shockwave that turned into Cyber Jam, and that toured the country. Then Blast 2 Mix, which it evolved into that started touring Japan. It was a blast.
Yeah.
Okay, so we are actually going to do this. We're down to the last 4 minutes, but we have the last 4 questions. So let's do it, Team Joe.
Wow.
Okay. Well, you've actually covered my last one, so I'm going to give you one more chance on a previous one, and I'm going to narrow it down for you, Wayne. Who is your favorite DCI music judge that lives in Kentucky?
Joe Allison.
Yay!
Good answer. And I've got a question, too, but so, Wayne, you like a lot of books. Can you just give me a book that you like instead of your favorite?
Let me see. Let me walk around the room and see what I can come up with.
If you say Steel Magnolias, I'm leaving.
Well, I'll tell you one that I'm reading now. How is that?
Yes, perfect.
Sir. It's a New York Times bestseller. It's called Ghost Wars by Steve Cole. And, you know, I'm really into the CIA covert, you know, I'm actually a very shallow type of guy, but I love these stories. But this particular book brings in a lot of facts that are real time facts brought to the situation of the, Afghanistan, Soviet invasion of Afghanistan and bin Laden and so forth and so on. So that's the one. And it did win the Pulitzer Prize, so it couldn't be that bad.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Wayne, true or false, Wayne Downey puts on his pants one leg at a time.
True.
Now, you can't take weasel out of this one. We want to know. We want to know if you're putting them on one at a time or jumping into them, because we're all going to be doing it tomorrow.
One at a time. One at a time. Without doubt.
All right, believe it or not, guys, we've made it to our final question, and this was the winning question of all the questions that we decided that we were posted on our Facebook page from all of our listeners. So here you go. The question we chose to win, and it's from Tommy Black, and it's a little bit long, but I'll read it quickly. He says, given today the way things are done today in the world of marching arts, meaning with more technically arranged and amped shows, which do you prefer, Wayne? The more in-your-face, recognizable music, wide-open arrangements of yesteryear, like La Fiesta or Legend of the One-Eyed Sailor, as he calls it, a drum corps fan's dream? Or do you like the trends of the way marching arts as a whole are progressing today in regards to arranging? In other words, do you miss the days of yesteryear with those different sort of wide open arrangements, or today?
Well, considering that I am responsible in at least a small part of what we are doing today, I would be crazy to say I don't like what we're doing today because I helped create it. That being said, I have a special place in my heart for those blow my face off moments of the 70s and 80s. But realize that when you talk about the creative teams that have been around besides the Blue Devils, you've got some creators, you know, that have been with the Cavaliers creative staff, you know, like Michael Gaines and so forth. And, you know, Jay Boko. What happens is the activity has progressed and changed and evolved because the individuals that create the shows, that design the shows, feel a need for themselves to evolve and create. So although I have a special, you know, special feeling and a special place in my heart for what drum corps was, I love it. I loved it. I listened to it. I don't want to see it again. You know, I want to see something that's just new, fresh, different, and standard setting. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of people don't prefer that, but I have a special place for it in my heart, but I'm going to keep moving forward because I think, you know, the activity has to evolve, and I feel it's our responsibility, especially with the Blue Devils being the national champion, it's our responsibility to create something new, something fresh, something different to move the activity forward. And that's kind of our mantra. And, you know, I said something in 1991, the night of my induction into the Hall of Fame. And I, a lot of people didn't get it, and they thought, you know, he's a wacko bird. But I said to them, you know, what stagnates dies. And it's really, really the case. You've got to keep moving forward. You can always look back in the past and always look back in history and just get goosebumps, chills, warm, goosey feelings, and great memories. But you've got to keep looking for what else is there. And that's I think, the best way I can exist, you know, I know I'm speaking for the Blue Devils, you know, Blue Devil staff in relationship to how we feel, we step forward and we move forward as well.
Wow. Well, thank you, Tommy, for that great question, because that, I can't think of a better way to end our 100 questions than that. And I got to tell you, team, and Wayne especially, I'm flabbergasted. My stopwatch just hit 1 hour. And I never, ever would have bet we would do that. So, Wayne, wow, your mind was clicking, and you must be a little bit worn out. I'm sorry to have done that to you.
No. Actually, it was a lot of fun. And all I will say to the listeners is, if you didn't hear your year or you didn't hear the answer you wanted to hear, accept my apologies.
Well, we have remind our listeners and go to our Facebook page at Marching Roundtable. Stay abreast of all the upcoming podcasts and follow us on Twitter at March Roundtable. And, you know, give us feedback on the website. This was so great. Thank you to all the listeners who sent in questions that were a part of this with Wayne. And thanks again to Tone Deaf Comics for their sponsorship of the podcast. You can find them at ToneDeafComics.com. And I'm going to let everybody say one more thank you to Wayne, and we'll just go in order, Joe.
Well, I rarely in the summertime, when we're in the middle of the throes of competition, as Wayne was alluding to earlier, get a chance to really talk in these terms. So I just want to say my age and experience level, I guess, is not very far from Wayne. So I've watched him grow literally for years from a really excellent craftsman in this activity to an absolute artist. And I think that's the best thing, the biggest compliment that I know to give, and I mean it very sincerely. His work speaks for itself. Oh, well deserved.
And realize that my success is also a combination of the people that are around me, the people that I work with. You know, you can't exist
right
all alone in this world. You know, I've got a great writing partner in David Glide, and just the team of Jim Wunderlich and Scott Johnson, and without question, Scott Chandler, Jay Murphy. I mean, the list goes on. You know, you succeed only with the help of your friends. And it's been a great experience living in Blue Devil Land, believe me.
Mary?
Well, Wayne, thanks so much for being here. Now, I don't want you to go ahead and spread rumors in this activity that the Marching Roundtable team are a bunch of tough people to deal with, because we're even though some of the questions, because we're really good people, and we really thank you for being here. And I'm so happy to find out it's really true. You're from Smithtown, New York.
Yes, it's true. There's no doubt about that. Well, it's great. It's been a great experience, actually. It wasn't as painstaking as I thought it was going to be. I will tell you, though, having a couple of the questions to think about beforehand certainly made me seem more lucid and coherent. So thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Yeah. Greg, you want to say anything at the end here?
Wayne, I just appreciate the opportunity to be a part of this today and have an opportunity to hear what you had to say for some of the questions. And I think that one of the really great things is that there are, hopefully as people listen to it, they realize that, you know, you really touched on some things today that they can apply to for teachers out there, to their rehearsal, for students or people who are musicians who are working to get better at their craft, that there were some things also that you touched on. And then just for the teachers and people like myself, for administrators, the how gracious you are about, the contributions, of course, that you've made to the success that the Blue Devils and many other groups have had, but also how you spend the time to recognize the people that you work with and you vocalize that it's a team effort. And so that's really great to hear.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure talking with all of you. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you, Wayne, for being here, for giving us your time, and for being a part of the roundtable. So that's it for this one. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.